You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Did you know that Podcast Juice is premium content? Well, check out Podcast Juice All Access. Join today and get instant access to over 9 years of great classic podcasts, members-only shows, and more exclusive content. Go to PodcastJuice.net/All Access and join today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to PodcastJuice.net. Welcome to 2015. This is your host, Michael Dean. I am joined today by Mr. Big Sexy and Zach. How are you, sir?
Moving cold, but moving slow, but still moving.
All right. Next up, we have Mr. Aunt Pooh. How are you, sir?
Man, what I learned was white folk can party their ass off just as good as black folk.
All right.
You late to
Merry New Year. I had to see it firsthand.
All right, all right. And last but certainly not least, Mr. Sean Heal. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Getting ready to go get photo shoot fresh for my wife's company's kick off the New Year party. It's going to be a blast. I'll be posting pics, so look out for those.
All right, and we're going to give a shout out to Mr. Q Storm. He couldn't be here today. He is out doing the family thing. We must remember that he is also a father, so that's very important to be out there and spend the time with your children. So we support that, and we want to thank you, the listener. This is, I think this will be the first show we've done this year, so we're going to have a lot of great things moving forward. A quick shout, I got to say, check out our website. We got a new website that is up. It's going to continue to be tweaked, but it's up there, it's running, so let us know what you think. We're going to keep, you know, dusting our shoulders off and shining our boots and, you know, putting on some new gear all the time, so better representation of what we do here. But let's get into things. This is Geeked Out. And today, I actually want to start off a little different. We're going to start off with some trivia and some you know, a quiz here. We're
going to
warm up the geek brains.
You know. I had to study.
That's all right. This is a true test of some of your movie, pop culture, TV, whatever knowledge. So these questions are mainly TV and movies, actually. So I am going to start with Aunt Pooh. No, I'm sorry, not Aunt Pooh. Sean Heal. All right, Sean, you ready?
Ready.
All right. What famous director co-wrote the screenplay to Rambo First Blood 2?
James Cameron.
That is correct. Oh, there you go. All right, you were ready.
Teacher's pet.
All right, next up. This one is going to be for Aunt Pooh. All right, Aunt Pooh, are you ready, sir?
Go ahead.
All right. What was the name of the 90s TV show that starred Lorenz Tate and also had Jennifer Lopez as a reoccurring role?
Jennifer Lopez? I don't remember that. South Central.
That is correct. Yeah, correct. Jennifer Lopez, she played the store clerk when they would go to the co-op.
Ah.
Kind of a sassy store clerk girl.
And that was a fantastic show, by the way.
Yes, it was. It was only like 10 episodes.
Yep.
It's on somebody's posted like all of them on YouTube, too.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if it had a box set or something like that.
Okay, I'm going to have to throw a flag on the play for that. You know, no disrespect to the acumen of my co-host, but as someone who lived in South Central LA during that time period, it was a horrible representation and show.
Well, I can't speak on the representation, but I think the show was good, though.
All right, homie.
I like the show. I was a big fan of it, personally. But all right. Let's see. This is a two-parter for Mr. Big Sexy.
Oh, man.
This is another sort of a 90s TV show. All right. How many seasons did the Martin TV show run?
Martin.
Yes.
I'm going to say 4.
Close. It was 5.
Damn.
Very close. Second part of this question is, what happened during the last season that almost derailed the show?
It did derail the show.
Yeah, some would say it did, yeah, but...
Didn't Martin and Martin Lawrence and Tisha Campbell have this major fallout and she sued him for harassment and walked off the show or something like that?
Yes. 1986, Tisha Campbell filed a lawsuit against her co-star. 96, excuse me. filed a lawsuit against co-star Martin Lawrence and the show's producers for sexual harassment and verbal and physical assaults, and therefore does not appear in most of the season 5 episodes. HBO Studios eventually settled the case with Campbell so that the season's last season would be completed, and she did return to film the two-part season finale under the condition that she would not appear in any scenes with Martin Lawrence.
Damn,
Gina.
Those episodes were atrocious. You got a married couple, you know, that's the whole crux of the show, but they're never together, you know, for about 5 or 6 episodes of the show. That was just asinine. I mean, I know why it was done, but it wasn't a good look.
Did they ever resolve their differences?
No.
So to this day, it's still fuck you and fuck you?
Yep.
Wow. That's heavy.
Now, Pam has worked with, you know, him. She was in, I think, the first Big Mama's House.
Okay.
But I don't know the rest of the, you know, the rest of the cast, where, you know, whose side they fell on.
All right, though, let's keep going. Let's see. This one would be for you, Mr. Sean Hugh.
All right.
What famous Al Pacino gangster movie had a prequel, and what was its title?
Carlito's Way, Rise to Power.
Yes, very correct. I see these questions are too easy. but yes, you're definitely correct. That was the prequel to Carlito's Way, which is, in my opinion, the classic. Carlito's Way, Rise to Power wasn't that straight to video?
Yeah.
With was it Puffy, Sean Puffy Combs?
Yeah, he's in it. Yeah,
there you go, right there. You know,
what's the other brother's name? Mario, Van Peebles.
Yeah, Mario's something.
Oh, Van Peebles. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, he's in it.
PU.
All right, let's see here. Are you back with us, Ampu? No, apparently not. His thing just conked out again. All right. Well,
I'll take his question.
You got this one. Okay.
Show off.
Name the actor that Michael J. Fox replaced in the original Back to the Future movie.
Oh, Eric Stoltz.
Yes.
Really?
And there's footage, if you YouTube, there is test footage of him playing the cafeteria scene where he first sees his father.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it may be on the Blu-ray.
I think it is on the Blu-rays, actually, yeah. They actually shot, like, I think 4 weeks of stuff with him before they realized, maybe he's not the one.
He's a good actor. I just don't think he fit the part.
He tore it up in Mask. So, yeah, he's a good actor.
Yeah, and apparently Michael J. Fox was the one they wanted to go with. But, again, he was with, was it Family Ties at the time?
Yep. Yeah.
And Fox, I believe, wasn't really trying to let him take the time off to go do that and leave shooting. And, man, Aunt Pooh, are you there, sir?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with my internet today. I apologize.
You know, that sort of thing happens, though. I don't know about now, but especially in the 80s, Tom Selleck got screwed over for Indiana Jones.
Yep.
What was the guy with James Bond?
Remington Steele.
Yes, I was about to say, Pierce Brosnan. Yep. They had canceled the show, Remington Steele. I believe they had canceled it, and then right when he was about to make the deal, they decided to bring it back. So he could
that was
do,
some spiteful ass shit.
Dude. Yeah, that was fucked up.
At least you could have worked around. Like, dude, he about to make a ton of money being James Bond, and you're like, okay, well maybe we keep the show going and fuck you out of money. And that was cold.
A movie like Bond, though, he couldn't do both at the same time because Bond would require him to be overseas. So that would have been impossible to do.
They could have started the season late.
No, they're not going to do that. That was a hit show. They're not
going to
do that.
No, it wasn't. It got canceled.
No, it was.
I was going to say, I totally forgot about that show, Remington Steele. What was it anyway? What was the premise of that show?
He was the face of a detective agency. I believe he was partnered with some woman, Stephanie Zimbalist.
Yes.
She was the brains, and he was like It was like no one would take her seriously because she's a woman. So he was the face of the operation, but she was the one that was doing all the work.
Yeah, AKA that show James Bond was on before he was James Bond.
Oh yeah, that's yeah.
Right.
Well, most people. I don't know most people.
All right. Well, I got one more question. And this is going to go to Big Sexy. This is a Prince question.
Oh, hands down, it's over. Let's go.
Okay. You probably said. All right. The movie Purple Rain.
It was
going to be produced by what famous comedian and also famous sports star? And there's a second part to this too. And why?
I know.
And why would they? Why did they turn it down?
I know the sports star, and sports star is not accurate. Sports legend is accurate.
There you go.
If we're talking Jim Brown,
we are.
As far as a comedy person, I don't know. I didn't know there was a comedy person involved at one point.
Indigo Productions.
There you go.
There's a hint.
Is that Richard Pryor?
Yes.
Yep.
All right, Rich. I didn't know that. Why did they back out?
Well, they backed out. I'm going to read from Rich himself, talking to Vibe magazine. This is a while ago. The question is, Richard.
Oh, a while ago.
What was that moment like when you did finally tell Jim Brown he was fired? Rich says,
You don't tell Jim Brown anything.
Well, he says he fucked around and turned down Prince's Purple Rain. That movie would have been great for us. But Jim thought it didn't have enough black people among the production assistants or whatever.
Oh, he went Q-Star. Okay.
I said, so? No, see, you got to have black people. This is a black thing. I said, what we gonna do, Jim? I felt like I was mad. I was insane. I told Jim Brown over lunch that I didn't want this company, and Jim cried. Jim Brown, you dig? I was either going to die right there or live with a broken face. I didn't care because I was tired of his shit.
Wow.
So, yeah. And actually, in the book, that new Prince book, Let's Go Crazy, The Making of Purple Rain, they do mention this, but it's from a different point of view. They ask Jim Brown, and he sort of framed it a little differently. But I found this morning, I was just looking it up, Richard Pryor actually had spoken on this years ago, and he was saying that Jim Brown was the reason why they weren't able to produce the movie, because he felt like there wasn't enough black people working on the movie. So very interesting.
Did they realize it was filmed in Minnesota?
Hey, there's a funny part in there with the one of the Prince's managers, I can't remember which one it was of the three. But they talk about their meeting with Jim Brown, how Jim almost whipped his ass. So there you go. All right, that was all the questions that we had. Just a little primer, you know.
You know, I gotta throw a flag on this one. Why don't we do comic book questions?
You know what? That's a good flag. I can respect that. I'll have to get some. You have to help me create some.
Cool.
How about that? All right. Speaking of comic books, just real quick, I may have mentioned this before. Man, I signed up with Marvel Unlimited.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I actually really liked it. Like, they had a special on Christmas Day. I think you get 2 months for $9. And man, I'm just like going back and reading all these arcs. And they got a ton of stuff on there. I was actually pretty shocked. I was like, wow, I wish DC had something like this. I think it's amazing. All right, let's get going now. I know that HBO is showing, or has been showing, a marathon run of The Wire, and actually they're presenting it in HD.
Yes.
I did peek at it, but I didn't have enough time to really sit down and go through them all. But of course, that's one of the best shows ever created. So we definitely want to talk about that today. And wanted to go over to Ampu, because I know you've been watching it, seemed like religiously, these last couple of days. I see the tweets on Twitter. It's bringing back all these memories to me. But I'm going to just speak on it first.
You know what? It takes a big man, and that's not no jokes on the weight, homies, to admit that he was wrong, or at least that he's been going too rough on something, and that, you know what? Begrudgingly, it is a great show, and begrudgingly, that it might be a tad bit better than Breaking Bad.
Might be. All right.
I mean, I'm looking at the pacing of the show, the character development, the story arcs, and I'm just like, wow, Vince Gilligan, it's like he binge watched the entire series before he created Breaking Bad.
Wow.
I mean, I'm being honest. You know, the pacing of the show and some of the character development and story arc is literally ripped from The Wire, which, you know, hey, sometimes imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, right? I'm watching the show, and I made some very slanderous comments a few months back, saying that the popularity of The Wire amongst the black folk is because it's hood nigga shit. I apologize. I mean, it's still, there's still hood nigga shit, but
so much bigger than that.
It's just so much
light years.
Again, the characters. I mean, I'm just sitting there like Stringer Bell. It's ridiculous. Idris Elba never got nominated for that role, for that portrayal. That dude just took the second in command and then just slowly built this empire and showed what happened. I mean, forget about the show, but just in society, showing how what happens when a dude, a hood nigga, so to speak, decides to go straight off of the drug game. That was just like, that just blew my mind, how he was trying to get incorporated, how he was getting worked by the system, by contractors, by the politicians, by the bureaucrats saying, oh, you know, you're trying to build these high-rise lofts downtown. Well, you need this permit. You need that permit. Right. Like, well, I just got it. It's like, well, you know, you need more. So now he got to bribe them. And then he tried to walk in and try to like, okay, wait a minute. I'm a nigga from the street. I can just go ahead and bogart them and just try to big talk them. And they're just like, yeah, that ain't how it works. They're like, fuck your guns. Fuck your money. Pay me or we ain't getting nothing done. And that's just season three. It's like, I don't watch season two as much because that whole labor, the docks workers thing, maybe I'm just a little bit racist. There's too many white people in that season.
Wow. Maybe.
Now, if this was the other way around, you would
lose your mind.
Yeah, come on, man.
Hey, I'm just keeping it real.
You're racist. Damn. You know.
But right now I'm on season three. I'm on episode 9 of season 3. When I was down with the family, I watched bits and pieces of season 4 and 5, and there was just stuff there. And it's like, as I'm sitting there, it's funny because my family over there, they watch all kind of stuff, but they haven't watched The Wire or Breaking Bad. So they're watching The Wire with me, and they're like, what's the hype about the show? It's like, it's really well acted, really good storyline. And as things are happening, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't got a chance to get into it, I'm breaking down. There's a killer. There's a killing in the 5th season, and everybody's looking at me like, "Well, why did he do that?" And I had to break it all down. And as I'm telling them the story, I'm just looking on their face. Like half of the look is appalled, like, "Oh my God, what the what?" The other half is like, "Wow, really? All that went down?" And then it's like I feel like puffing on my chest because like I'm telling these stories from a hood nigga's perspective. You know, I'm throwing in all the vernacular like, well, you know, he had to get got. That's just a part of the game.
Translated.
it's like, well, they didn't have to do that. I'm like, well, you know, you got to remember this is the drug game. You know, you had to go. Mm. You know, so all I can say is that The Wire. Yeah, begrudgingly, it might be better than Breaking Bad. It's definitely, it does not get enough praise. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying it. It does not get enough praise for how good it is.
One thing in season one that stands out to me, I mean, one of the many things that stands out.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, WKRP was on, and the character Venus Flytrap broke down the Atom to this gang kid. And it got a lot of press. To me, when I saw D'Angelo Barksdale break down a chess game to those two guys,
oh yeah, yeah,
that was just mind altering. That was so cool.
At the end, when Bodhi's like, "Well, he's like a pawn, always stay a pawn." He's like, "Unless he's gonna really put in the work."
That's right.
And it's just like, wow, like okay, and you, and it's like you know they're beating you over the head with it. But they subtly broke that down where you get that the metaphor that they were using for the drug game.
Yep.
Let me ask you guys a question. What were your what was your favorite season?
One. Season one, I will go on record and say season one might be the greatest season any television show ever had.
Mm. With the exception of season three.
I don't know. Season. Now, I like season one now, a little bit more.
One set up everything because when they brought in Brother Muzon and all these other things happening, and you bring out. And see, this is. Okay, let me go ahead and get politically incorrect here. You know, in our culture nowadays, all these all these people, you know, I said it, want to say, oh, there aren't enough gay people. Omar was gay.
Yeah. And Kima.
Kima. Omar was the baddest motherfucker in the building. Nobody said shit about him. Nobody talked him up. Nothing.
The thing they always throw out is they always throw out that slur, cocksucker.
Yep.
And it's like you always knew he was talking about it. You forget, oh yeah, that's right, that dude is gay. But he always had a boyfriend with him.
And the thing is, he wasn't, you know, oh hi, I'm Omar, give me your drug money. No, he was that nigga. Okay.
Yeah. He actually was scary to me. I always envisioned in the rap, you know, the gay rapper and all that. I actually think that the Omar character would be the prototype for the real gay rapper when he does come out and he's mainstream and he's going to be hardcore. And you ain't going to be, you know what I mean? It's going to be like an Omar. Like, he almost would be like a 50 Cent, but he'll be gay.
Yep.
And no one will say shit to him. And that's what will blow the door wide open for a hip hop and be like, oh well, yeah, he put in the work, nigga, or he's perceived to be this street dude you'll never speak to. I think Omar will be the prototype for what will happen one day in like mainstream hip hop, but that's a whole other thing. But
the thing that tripped me out is with Omar's character art is like, I'm just trying to figure out, okay, in the real world, can one dude really be that badass that he walks up to the trap house and just like, where the money at? Don't make me come up in there.
Yes. Like, I don't think it's bodies. Yes.
I looked at Omar. I didn't look at him as real. Like in some parts I did, but then to me, he just became like, almost like when the show kind of goes in a weird sort of meta fantasy type of thing or something. Like he was like just the gunslinger. And like everyone was just scared of him, but I was like, in reality, I don't know if he would be able to do it like that. I don't know, man. I was just like, he just seems like a character they put in there, which I enjoy the character. I think he's fun, but he reminded me of like Darth Maul or somebody. Like he just, Darth Vader, you can say, oh, you just don't fuck with that guy.
I disagree. I mean, to me, it's like Schoolyard back when I was a kid. I mean, like when I was like a little kid, because when I was in fourth grade, I was the smallest kid in the class because I was the youngest kid because I got skipped over third grade. So I'm in there with all these, you know, big kids, and there was this one kid who everybody knew was going to jack you for your money. That's just how it was. And people, and he'd walk in, and people he had under his thumb,
yeah,
geared right up. No beef, no discussion, no nothing. They knew.
He grew up to be Debo.
There you go. There you go. Another one.
Yeah, it was like he was a samurai, or he's like he had a code, right? The Omar character, he had a code about him. It was just like he almost seemed like he was a very honorable dude, but he was like, in this particular game, this is how the rules are. You know, you go after these type of people. You're not going to just kill somebody nilly-nally. He's a very interesting character.
And the thing about it is like, the whole thing that occurred between him and the Barkside organization, they make the shit personal. But it's like...
Wait. Who made it personal? Who started that shit?
Barksdale.
Prop Joe started that shit.
Prop Joe.
Prop Joe put them on in each other's way. That's what happened.
What another great character, man.
A fat bastard.
but it's like, but part of me is like, okay, I understand they did your boy code. They tortured the hell out of him. And I'm sorry, spoilers, tortured the hell out of him to find out what Omar, he didn't give him up. But it's like, dude, this is the game. Like, you kind of forgetting your own code. Like, you can't rob drug dealers and then get mad when they beat the shit out of your boyfriend. Okay, I guess, yeah, that's your boyfriend. They're doing it because of shit you did.
No.
But I think it would be like, game, he wouldn't, man, go after his parent, the parents exactly. of the exactly. drug dealers.
But he would, that's true, but his boyfriend was part of the stick-up. So I think that's fair game.
Okay.
No, I disagree with that.
Well, he was helping him rob. Didn't he rob those?
No, he was there. Yeah, he was definitely there.
He had a gun on Barksdale's people. And I'm thinking, like, look, dude, I understand that was your boyfriend, but you know what, yeah, homie? You put him in harm's way.
Yeah. Now he put himself in harm's way.
Yeah, that's true. Real. And then what I thought was really creative is the fact that, you know, Omar was catching heat. And by the end of season one, Omar was like, look, this is shit too much. I'm getting the fuck out of here. I'm going to New York and chill. And then he came back, started robbing him again. He was like, okay, you know what? Maybe I'll let that grudge go. Because I remember season three, there was a scene between the detective, Bunk. Is it Bunk? No, Bunk.
Bunk.
Bunk and Omar. And I swear, I think they did it subtly. They shot it. I could have sworn that Bunk had Omar crying. Yep. Where he was just checking him on his shit. Like, yeah, you think you're bad. The community, you fucking up the community. You got kids trying to be like you. And it's like, I'm going to catch you. And he just left him sitting there. And it was just like, they shot it on one side. You could swear you could see a tear coming down Omar's eye. But then when they shot it from the other side, it looked like he had this defiance. But at the same time, like, Bunk got to him. And it looked like, and after that, it looked like Omar was going to get out of fucking with the Barksdale. And then they broke the Sunday morning code. What was it? Sunday morning truce.
Sunday morning truce. Shout out Granny. Yeah. And see, I put that shit on Stringer.
Stringer, Battle. Yeah.
If you're going to be in the game and second command, you got to know. You have to know there are rules to this.
Wow. What if, the other season that I really liked was, I believe it was season 4.
With the kids.
With the kids in the school and stuff. I just thought that was really good because you had seen these kids all throughout, you know, the series, and then they sort of spotlight them and just going through the school system. And what was the police guy who became a teacher?
President.
Yeah, I mean, I was just...
Or are you talking about the black man?
Buddy? No, the white dude.
Okay.
And then the one brother that went into the one teaching program. I just thought that was so...
Yeah, that's Bunny Colvin, yeah.
So good, man. I was like, wow, this show just goes in a whole different direction. It's still got the same people, but it's got a different theme about it.
Each season did that.
Yeah. But, I mean, this one to me just really, I didn't expect that at all. I was like, okay.
Season 4, to me, resonated a little too close to home, you know, being in those classrooms. Because I went to school with a bunch of, especially girls, like that. I'm like, you know what? Stay the fuck away from me.
Sean Hill, did you watch The Wire?
You know, no, you know, I never did. I've heard so much. I've been ridiculed for not watching it back when it was on, and I definitely need to catch up to it. It's just being able to actually find the time, to sit down and do it. When it was on, I remember just seeing stuff on HBO because I was watching The Sopranos at the time, and you know, this was long before, you know, you could, you know, YouTube it or you know, torrent it or what have you. So I think by the time it was hyped, I think it was probably around season 3, and I'm like, oh well, kinda it's kinda too late now. Mm-hmm. You know, but I definitely will catch it at some point before I leave this earth for sure.
Now one thing, and maybe it's just me being a conspiracy theorist or reading too deeply and stuff, but I always felt that season 3 with the breakup of Avon and Stringer, I kind of thought that played up like Jay-Z and Dame Dash. You had Jay-Z being, you had Jay-Z being Stringer trying to go legit and trying to do big things and make these power moves outside of what he knew, which was Jay-Z's case, rap, Stringer Bell's case, the drug game. And you got Avon / Dame Dash being these hood motherfuckers that just rub dudes the wrong way in these meetings. And, you know, he got Stringer and Jay like, fuck, here this nigga coming. I know you didn't, you know, trying to be the gangster. Just like what he says, he's like, I suppose I'm just a gangster. You know, I ain't no businessman like you. And I just saw that, like, I wonder if that was intentional or just am I reading too much into it?
It may have been inspired by.
Well, I never knew that those guys had beef like that.
I didn't know they necessarily had beef either, but I mean, I could kind of see what you're saying. I think it's more about two different styles of running an organization or a business. You got one guy who wants to keep it gangster and, you know, a certain way dealing with on the street, and then the other guy wanting to sort of transition into something else and legitimize it. Then it was almost an age old thing with gangster movies, right?
Yeah. Godfather 2. I mean, that was the whole. What I had the other night, I want to pose this question to you guys. I've had this discussion with other folks. Should Michael have had Fredo killed?
Yes. Fredo had to go.
But he set up family. Yeah, you
got to
go.
Fredo got to go. No.
I agree. It's just funny to hear you guys say that because I agree. Because if he would have let Fredo live after trying to, you know, have him killed, what kind of message does that send the rest of the mob world? I do like, though, that there's that and talk about the code. He made a vow to Connie, I think it was Connie, that he would not harm Fredo while the mother was still alive. And when they're at the funeral and Fredo shows up and he gives him that hug and Michael is looking at Neri, the enforcer, he just gives him that look like, oh, yeah, it's on now.
Let me ask you this, going back to The Wire real quick. What was Stringer Bell, when he started messing with old girls, I guess his widow or ex-wife, what was the character was in the prison?
D'Angelo,
when he started messing with his old girl, I was kind of like, come on, man.
What are you doing?
That was when I knew Stringer had to go.
That was foul, but that was also one of the most gangster things ever. I mean, first, you know, I was like, he wrong, but that chick was kind of bad. I can't knock him. The fact that he came in like, look, we taking care of you. You know, you got to go do your part for D, blah, blah, blah. Then he just stood up and just took it. And not in the rapey kind of way, but just let her know, like, look, one way, like, this going to happen. So I thought that was just kind of gangster.
I thought it was foul, man. Like, come on, man. That dude, was D'Angelo, he was a stand-up dude for the most, I mean.
Yeah, D'Angelo wasn't really made for that life. He was not made for that life. The character that I felt the worst for was Weebe. I loved some Weebe. Weebe was good comic relief. He was a soldier. He put in that work.
Was that the dude whose son was the focus of the?
Yes.
That mother.
Oh. call Tommy.
Most ratchet ass representation of a black woman on TV or movie ever. I hated her with a passion.
When COVID went and told him, like, look, I'm gonna get your son out the game and he could do this, da, da, da. And then he brought the mother in and he's like, you know, this man said my son could be anything he want. And she replies, except a soldier. I was like,
not soldier. Soldier. Nasty ass. Acting a bitch. Oh god.
I was just like, you gotta be kidding.
Oh shoot. You ain't even put in work.
The other scene, and I'm sorry we spoiling this for you, Sean. The other scene was Naaman comes home with money and she starts counting it like, this shit is light.
Yep.
Where's the rest of it? She's like, oh no, let me go down and talk to Bodie. And I'm like, oh.
Whose mom comes down to the trap, starts complaining because he ain't getting enough work?
I'm just like, that's not going to end well. That is not going to end well. Like,
she was horrible, man.
She was foul. And again, I'm saying it again. I knew mothers like that when I was growing up.
Oh, I pray for your childhood. That had to be traumatizing.
It was rough, man. It was rough.
Imagine if she looked like, I'm going to ask this. Say that she looked like, I don't know, Halle Berry. But her mindset and mouth was that. Oof. Would you still hit?
Hell no.
I'm sorry, Big Sexy. I'd still hit.
See, you stupid.
And mess around, and she got pregnant.
No, I'm gonna take all the precautions in the world. I'm coming with the spermicide, the condom, the plan B morning after, as well as the doctor's appointment.
Let's think about this for a minute. You gonna make her take her pill? Please.
She would have been like, why I need all this shit? This pussy good. What you trying to say? You don't think I'm clean or something? Well, you better take that and go raw. You better go raw.
You better go raw. You're going to be acting like a bitch. Yep.
She would have shamed you into it.
Nah.
Okay. There you go.
Nah,
I got you, nigga.
I just would have been that bitch. That's all. That's all that is.
Oh, man. That's a reduction in rank right there, man.
But we haven't talked about, in my opinion, one of the most divisive characters on the show, Marlo.
Marlo Stanfield.
Marlo was that dude, man.
He was the dude.
Straight villain, but I loved him, man.
I don't know if I can't remember what his name was, the guy who played him. I don't know if that was his first acting job, but he just did not have the personality of the characters on the show. The other characters, Stringer and Avon, McNulty, Lester. I just felt like I wanted a little bit more. Omar, even Bodie, you know, he just didn't have that personality that, you know, to pull it off. Again, I don't know if it was his. I mean, shoot, he wasn't even better. He didn't do more better than Snoop and Chris.
No, he was a different type of character, dude. Like, and the guy's name is Jamie Hector. He was brilliant in that.
He was brilliant and straight villain, man. And there was no bullshit to him. There was no drama. Like, you need to get got. You need, fellas, let's tool up and go handle this.
I was always amazed how, I wanted to know how he became who he was to those guys, because they followed him hook, line. You know what I mean? Like, they were scared of him, and he was not all, he wasn't that stereo, in my opinion, that stereotypical rah, rah, oh, nigga, we're going to do better. He was just mad cool, and he was talked to you straight. You know, he went, his emotions were in check. And I always was curious, like, what, how did he become who he was?
Because
he
there was only,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, there was only one time his emotions got the better than him.
Yep.
In the jail holding cell when he found out Omar was calling him out.
See, I don't even remember that. I got to go back. That's why I got to watch that.
You don't remember that? My name is my name.
That's right.
I don't, man.
Oh, you got to go see that. The police finally got enough evidence to, they rounded them all up. They're sitting around trying to figure out how they got them. They say they got a source, which they don't realize. What you think by now, they realize they're tapping something, or they're watching somehow. And they're thinking somebody's snitching. And then somebody mentions, yeah, well, Omar was calling you out. And he lost his fucking mind.
Wow. Like,
and then he ended the scene with, my name is my name.
Interesting. I'm looking at his thing. He was, his earliest thing I can see is he was in He Got Game, the movie. He was also in Ghost Dog.
I felt ripped off by Ghost Dog. I really did, man.
He was also in Law and Order, prior to coming on to The Wire, so maybe some of his connections there. But yeah, he's got an extensive, he was actually in Halo Reach game, apparently. So, but yeah, I mean, that guy, that character, to me, I loved sometimes for some reason, and maybe it was because of the time I was watching it, 50 Cent was big. He reminded me, for some reason, he just reminded me of 50 Cent or something, where I just assumed he acted like that for some reason. I don't know why. It just seemed like a real calculating type of dude.
Yeah, they don't get rich or dead train.
See, I don't think he actually acts like that, but I don't know at all. But I know for some reason, you know, I was just like that. They remind me of each other.
You know, it's funny you say that. I remember when Menace to Society came out, Lorenz Tate. I'm like, where did they find this thug off the street? And then, you know, then to come find out, you know, dude's an accomplished actor. You know what I mean? He was just acting. And then I remember when I saw Juice, you know, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, oh, well, they really did find a thug from off the street.
Well, yeah. Because I was about to say, nah, Tupac, that was half acting.
You know, I think that movie is the reason why he changed. I don't know why, but he was just trying to do that Bishop persona throughout his entire career. When I don't think he really was like that. He was more, you know, thoughtful and insightful than that particular character.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The only thing that I kind of felt, and this is just, you know, me being overly, overly critical, the only thing that I didn't get from The Wire, you never got the confrontation between Omar and Marlo.
Mm.
That should have happened.
Did the show end prematurely, or did they, you know,
they told us.
We don't want to spoil that for you in case you do.
No, no, what I mean prematurely. Did,
no, they planned the ending. Yeah.
Okay, that's what
it had its ending.
Now, again, I was watching this, and I guess I'm going to have that moment of George Lucas symmetry.
Now,
in season 3, when Brother Muzon and Omar trapped Stringer, I was watching that a couple days ago, and I'm looking like, man, that wouldn't have been me. I'd have dove through that window. What the hell wrong with him? I'd rather take my chances. Which then reminded me funny, because in season 5, when Omar thought he had to drop on Marlo and they trapped him, that dude jumped through the window.
He went straight Spider-Man.
I was like, see, that's what I'm talking about. I would have might as well make a dive. You're dead either way. At least jumping through the window, you might have a chance of surviving. And I just was thinking, I'm like, I wonder if they got some feedback of why the hell didn't Stringer jump through the window? He was right there.
Because Stringer's a punk. That's why.
Wow. Let me throw some character names at you guys and see what you think about. Tommy Carchetti.
Ah, that dude.
Scandalous little fucker, man. Scandalous.
He's like, in my opinion, he was the Bill Clinton. I think that had to be Bill Clinton, because he was, first of all, he was smashing chicks on the side.
Hustler, baby.
And then he was hustling everybody to get his political career ascension.
Exactly, because it wasn't about doing right for the city. It was about, let me get in the mayor's chair. Let me get in the governor's chair. Fuck all this.
Do you think he started out like that, or did he kind of change?
He's a politician, so yes.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, good point. What Big Sexy said.
Let's see. Well, it's kind of tied to him, but he was funny to me. Clay Davis.
Sheesh.
Clay was foul, but he was slick, though.
What I like was season one, when after Ashy Larry got caught with the money. I know what I'm talking about. He got caught with the money, and they were mad at Daniel's team, and they brought him down. He was all acting proper, like, well, you know, it's nothing's going on. You know, it was just, that was his own money. And, you know, he was talking all proper. And then when Daniel was like, well, if you ain't got nothing to hide, then it shouldn't be no problem, blah, blah. Then all of a sudden, somebody talk to this motherfucker. Let him know what the fuck is going on. And I was just like, damn, he changed on his mind. He was like, look, I tried to be diplomatic with this, but now I got to get good. To this motherfucker, let him know what's going on.
What was the name of the mayor? I try the black dude.
I know it was Glenn Thurman, but I can't. I forgot his name though.
And he remember he got caught.
Oh yeah, get a little something.
That was hilarious.
Mayor Rice.
Mayor Rice. Well, Rice. He was a slick one, boy.
He was a straight back. I mean, look.
And they probably all be like that.
They're all politicians, you know. They're all in it for the dirt, all of them.
My guy, this is a character, another character I loved. I believe his name was Lester.
Lester Freeman.
What I liked about him is from jump, he was getting at that stripper.
Oh, that's right. He got caught up. That's right.
What did Daniel say? Remember who you are, Lieutenant.
Yeah, I mean, from jump, he was throwing that game at her.
I forgot about that.
And the final episode, you saw, there she was in his house.
Yeah, he had snatched that up.
I'm not mad at him. But yeah, it was great how they portrayed him. Brumman, he was in the pawn shop division, and he broke the case. Well, him and Prez, that was his thing.
Yeah.
They'll break that case. But yeah, he was one of the smartest dude. But at the same time, the other thing I remember, season three, McNulty got out of pocket with him. And dude said, you ain't even worth the skin off my knuckles. And I'm just thinking like, yeah, he letting you know I could put you down.
No, I'll whip your ass. You better check it. But the best thing about Freeman was when he sat Clay Davis down in season five and broke it all down for him. And said, look, I got you, man. So you need to give me something or I'll take you right now. And Clay, you know, tried to buck a little bit, and then he gave him what he wanted.
Wow.
Yeah. One thing I like too, I liked Herc and Carver, I think it was season one, where they took the stash house, flipped the bed up, found out stacks of money, and they're like, shit, let me get a little taste. I would bet money, and I see from a philosophical standpoint, does that make them dirty cops or opportunistic or just fuck it, I need to get paid.
Opportunistic. Yeah. Opportunistic.
You know? Yeah, I agree.
That's a lot of money that's going undocumented.
Yep.
Why
I
not?
Don't know where it came from. I'll take a little stack for myself. Boom.
Wow. But it's a good use. The characters that that doesn't get enough love is Chris and Snoop. God damn, those were some cold ass characters. Killers and
wasn't playing.
Yeah,
I always like that scene where she goes to the Home Depot type store and is gonna buy that nail gun. Ah, man, that was classic, man.
Yeah, I mean, if the one thing, the Complex, they did two videos. One top 10 reasons why Breaking Bad is better than The Wire. Top 10 reasons why The Wire is better than Breaking Bad. And they said one of the things they listed was strong female characters and Snoop. Yeah. Snoop was I'm going to say, that was a bad bitch. She was a bad ass bitch. She would put in our word. She was scared. I mean, just think about it. Here's this butch. I mean, this. I ain't trying to be disrespectful, but this butch, thug, gangster killer And mind you, she's still short, but she's looking up on dudes on the street that's on these corners, and they backing down. Yeah. So I gotta respect that.
It doesn't sound like she's too far from the real character, from her actual
person.
Either.
She's real, yeah.
Apparently, Michael K. Williams, who played Omar, he found her in the club. He found her in the club and said, "You'd be perfect for the show." And they found it, they created a character for her.
Wow. Look at that. She's like, she's got a, unfortunately, got an extensive record to go along with that character, man. It's not really.
I think a lot of those people weren't trained actors.
What do you mean by those people?
Talking about the people who played the quote unquote drug dealing guys.
Did you notice they all had the perfect Baltimore accent too?
Yeah, I didn't peep that.
Oh yeah, they all did. Like if anyone said the number or the word two, they wouldn't say two. They would say Q. I mean, you stepping two? I'm like, wow, that's far out.
Now the last thing was I remember Cheese and Prop Joe. I
Cheese wasn't shit.
God damn.
That nigga needed to get got.
Cheese, for those that don't know, is played by Method Man, and that
right.
Delusions of grandeur. He
that
needed
nigga shit.
I remember when Prop Joe was trying to get out the game, and he was packing up everything, and Cheese leaves, and then Marlo enters, and he was like, "My nephew talked to you." He was like, and Marlo just gave him a look like, "You know what it is." And Prop Joe goes, "That boy always was a disappointment." I was just like, he really just resigned himself to like, yeah, that motherfucker. I'm gonna have to use that in some form this week. That line, I have to.
Oh, my guy Wallace, Michael B. Jordan.
Yep, young Wallace.
You know what?
Storm.
I'm still trying to figure out why the hell did he come back.
Stupid. That's all he knew. That's why. That's all he knew, man.
Okay, that's a good point. But to me, I'm really just like, look, dude, you don't want to be in the game. People thinking you soft. The last thing you need to do is take your ass back to where all the trouble is, like where all the drama is. Why are you gonna put yourself in the heat of that?
Yeah, well, suffice to say, because we got to kind of wrap it up a little bit, that show is freaking amazing. Like, to me, I always think of The Wire as you have to have some patience. Because people will come into it with preconceived notions. Ah, it's just some nigga stuff. Or, but if you sit down and watch it, you will see that it is so much more than the surface level what you think it is. That it takes patience, because this show is going to go here and there and come back and reference. And then, you know, the second season, which we didn't really talk about, is, you know, kind of a whole other thing. And you're like, what? What's going on?
But speaking of that second season, do you think that the reason why they went to the dock workers, which are predominantly white, and they introduced the Greeks, was because they felt that they didn't get enough viewership because it was too black?
No.
I'm asking.
They told a story how the drug trade affects a certain industry in that city every season. That's all they did. You know, season two was the dock workers. Season five was the press. Season four was the schools. Come on, man.
Hey, I'm just asking the question. I'm putting it out there.
I think at the time I would have thought that. At the time it happened, I would have thought that. But seeing how it plays out, long play, I don't think that at all.
Well, why do you think that since it is, again, I say it's the one of the most divisive seasons. A lot of people will look at number two as being the weakest of the five. They didn't really go back to any of those characters again. Now, the devil's advocate would say, well, they weren't as strong characters as the others that they created. But, I mean, it is what it is, right?
You know, the thing is, too, I don't know what their master plan, if they intentionally planned. Like, I assume they planned, okay, the second season, since we're on HBO, we could do whatever the fuck we want to do. Let's go here with it. You know, they still had some of the main characters in the show. They just weren't the centerpiece. But then maybe or not, I don't know. I don't know what the reception was at the time, because I wasn't really watching it. If people were like, I really kind of want to see those other guys again. where they're like, okay, we'll go back on the third one, but we still want the intention to do like what we did on the second one. So the fourth season, yeah, we're going to take some of the same characters, but we're going to make the whole thing about something totally different. And the fifth season, they make it totally something different, but it still has the same characters. So I think that was their intention, is to have these seasons that were their own sort of centerpieces unto themselves, but had the centerpiece story of the cops. Because I think the one character that is through the whole thing, who I don't, sometimes I don't think deservingly needs to be there, is what's the white cop's? McNulty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he seemed to be like the thing that they wanted to be sort of the bridge through everything. And some point, some parts from what I remember, he seemed to kind of be pushed back a little bit. But I always remember he's always there, no matter what's going on. He's always sort of got a story going on.
The centerpiece, and this just popped in my head, the centerpiece actually through all five seasons, if you think about it, is Glikas the Greek.
All five seasons?
That the second, the Greek was second in command, was there every season, doing dirt. First he's up with Prop Joe. Joe has to go away. Here comes Marlo. Okay, Marlo, let's do business. Marlo has to go away. Okay, Slim Charles. But the business keeps coming in. And in season two on the docks, you know, somebody tried to step to his drug trade, and he dropped dime on him to his dirty FBI guy, and they made that tremendous drug bust. You can't have you and plus, you know, the cat who killed the hookers in the can at start of season two. No, he had to get got. Oh yeah, the Greeks wasn't having any of it. Mm-hmm. They kept their drug trade flowing.
Okay, I got. I know we had to wrap, but there's three things that I wanted to bring up. We didn't talk about the New Day Co-op. Which the name?
Oh, the coop.
Come on, that was brothers trying to do their own thing. Now, come on.
It was just like you see in the mafia movies. You know, these guys are working together. I mean, a lot of criminal enterprises are run in a corporate sense. They really are.
Yeah, I mean, it was hella funny that they all came together to buy in to bulk, which I'm just like, what? To get the good heroin and drugs from the Greeks and then sell that. And I'm just like, wow. The one line I always remember is when they've decided to form it, and Stringer looks over and he sees his dude that's like his second in command assistant, and he sees him with his notepad and pen. And he's looking like, he's like, reminds you, this is verbatim. He's like, nigga, what the fuck are you doing? Well, you know, it says we need to have minutes, so I'm taking minutes. He goes, nigga, is you taking notes on a criminal fucking conspiracy? I was just like, what? It's like they had this serious shit about you watching them plan out this stuff and plot and get this drug game done, how they're going to work together to get the good shit so they can sell, so they can all make money and cancel out all the gangster bullshit. And then here comes Stringer with, in my opinion, a comedy line and that hood nigga come out of him where he's like, nigga, what the fuck are you doing? That was just like that walking a fine line. And that was like, they set that whole scene up just to get to that one line.
You know, let me just say this, Idris Elba. I don't think he's done anything yet that tops Stringer Bell.
What? Wrong.
Well, okay, go ahead. What do you think he's?
Luther.
Yeah, I haven't watched as much as Luther, so I can't.
Luther is heavy, man. Luther is. Woo.
Okay.
Well, hopefully it'll be James Bond. The other thing I wanted to mention is the Complex. They said that the reason why Wire was better than Breaking Bad was that The Wire had all these diverse characters, whereas Breaking Bad was just about another middle-aged white anti-hero man. And I'm like, okay, I think that's kind of unfair, especially it's like you can't talk about all this diversity of characters, all these people of characters, these homosexuals that were shown in prominent position, the females, when behind the scenes, it is a middle-aged white man. So to me, it's like, okay, so it's all right to create a show that benefits and gets all these accolades about these scenarios or situation, as long as you don't put a middle-aged white male anti-hero as the star?
First of all, how is he an anti-hero? He was a drug dealer, period.
Talking about Walter White?
Yeah.
Well, I guess in the sense of anti-hero is because he was light.
Fuck that.
Right.
He was dirty. And we all, he's a villain, man. He's dirty.
But he was still doing good. I mean,
in comparison
to the other people, he was the anti-hero.
Bullshit.
He took out Gus. He had the beef with the Nazis. Then Tuco. So yeah, he was anti-hero.
Uh-huh. He was selling dope to people,
drug
man.
Drug dealer. All
right. Well, I'm just saying that. Hey, look, it wasn't my words. All right. Damn.
Let me ask you this, Ant. I go rob a bank tomorrow. I take $150,000. Okay. I get away. I take that money. And open up a hospital. Am I anti-hero?
Yes.
No. I'm a fucking felon. Okay. What you do with the money's immaterial, man. You did the dirty act. You got to go.
Well, what is what does anti mean then, right? The opposite of a hero? He'd be a villain.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that, and under most circumstances, would be the villain of the show. Basically, the villain is the main character, sort of. Like, I hate to keep harping on it, but Soprano, Tony Soprano, that's the probably biggest anti-hero. I mean, that would have been a guy who would have been, you know, any other show or any other time, he would have been a villain, but he's the main character. And although he's a bad, evil person, you still like him.
Well, here's the definition. Essential character in a story, movie, or drama who lacks conventional heroic attributes.
Oh, that's
nice. Isn't that what I just said?
In that case, New Jack City, what was the character
that you're not saying
Wesley Snipes played? He'd be the anti-hero, I guess.
Nino Brown was foul.
No. Well, no, I mean, but he was more foul than any of these other guys, but he was black. So we just assume he's a villain. But I'm just saying, would Stringer Bell be an anti-hero then too, right? Or?
Stringer Bell was dirty.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yes, no. Definitely.
No.
Well, in Nino Brown's case, he was the villain. He was just played by a charismatic actor that made him likable despite the fact that he was.
Right, he helped out. Wasn't he giving the church money?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well. That changes everything.
Exactly.
Giving away
helping
turkeys
the community.
Yeah. What did you do?
Oh, okay. I thought that was my water. Never mind.
Well, fellas, I got to jump off. I got to get ready to. Head out. I got my wife's their company. They do their holiday party after the holidays are over.
Yeah, a little bit late.
Well, sir, thank you for jumping in with us. We'll definitely see you next time.
Yep.
Later. All right.
All right, fellas. All right. Peace out.
And, okay. Last question. This popped in my head. I was kind of thinking. I'm like, how the fuck has there been all this talk about a Sex and the City movie? Two of them they got. They had. They're about to do Entourage, and there's talk of Sopranos, but there's no talk of The Wire.
Wait! You can't do a Sopranos movie without James Gandolfini. That's just not gonna happen.
Well, I mean, there was talk. There was.
Oh, okay.
Talk. Yeah, but then I actually sat down and thought about it. And spoilers. I'm like, can they really do a Wire? Even if they did a TV special, five to six episode miniseries, or even a movie, can they really do it? When you look at some of the some of their best characters, can be utilized. You got Avon and Weebe and Chris in jail. For Avon's in for 20, Chris and Weebe's in for life.
Avon's in for 9.
I thought it was 25.
Avon can get out.
Yeah, that's true.
They can probably get Avon out. Chris and Snoop, forget it. But they could probably I take that back. They can get him out. They can do something.
Life?
They can do something. They could have Mo Levy make an argument that somehow, and it's just me, you know, throwing out lawyer stuff, somehow the evidence they use to get Chris and Snoop is tainted. If that evidence is tainted, Weebay's gone. Forget that. Weebay ain't going nowhere. Because Weebay, you know, owned up to the murders he did. So Weebay's off the table. But if they have tainted evidence on Chris and Snoop, who never, you know, owned up to anything, you take the evidence out, and without that evidence, can you still convict? No, they're out.
But then you got Marlo, who's supposedly out the game. But
Marlo is back in the game.
But the last episode, it sounded like he
took a corner back.
Yeah. And then you got, what, Prop Joe dead, Omar dead, Stringer dead. Bodie dead, Snoop dead.
But you got some of the police officers. You still got the political people.
But some of the best people were in the drug game, though. I just listed five.
They
great
could do it.
That are dead.
They could still do it. What that show was good of, though, was creating all these different. I mean, I could see them easily making a show And if they tie it into today's events, they could tie it into this whole, the police shooting type thing, how that may affect the streets, and then how the political would play into that. That could be a pretty cold movie. You'd be like, oh, the cops shot somebody. Oh, okay, well, how does it go? You know, they could maybe have some story where it all tied where it was the shooting was done on purpose and it was some political cover-up thing, or, you know what I mean? They could do all kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, and all due respect to the actors, because they all played their role, they played their position, for an old school hip hop term, well. But it's not like they're doing too much other than maybe Wendell Pierce.
A lot of people that are in Walking Dead.
That's right.
A lot of these actors are out there doing stuff, actually.
Yeah. But I mean, for the most part, it's not like they're knocking them dead.
Well, I think they could. The reason why I think they won't see the movie or them doing something, the same reason why this show seems to be always not given the proper due, and I think it's the subject matter, is just not something that, you know, unfortunately, America or just mainstream media, they're not really trying to promote shows where there's a lot of black characters and they're in the criminal element.
There you go.
They're just not going to be shown like this. Is why I think, as great as this show is, I think the reason why it didn't get what it did is because of, again, it's black people being the criminal element as opposed to a Sons of Anarchy or The Sopranos, which is at the same time. Those can be, or Breaking Bad. Those are, you know, they're going to always champion the white villain anti-hero dude. But the black dude, they were just never going to, it's going to take a while for that as to be accepted mainstream type of thing. Because you can't really name too many mainstream, almost hero worshipped black villains that are the main points of movies or TV shows. They're never presented that way.
Yeah, that is a good point. It's a knock on post ratio because, all you got to do is compare The Wire to Breaking Bad. I mean, this is very well acted, very good story arcs, but one took off and the other is still trying to get respect.
I disagree, because if you take The Wire and you premiere it the same time you premiere Breaking Bad, the same exposure, I mean, you can't do it on FX because it's going to neuter the show.
Well, just compare it to its counterpart, which would be The Sopranos. Wasn't The Sopranos on HBO?
Sopranos was HBO, and came before The Wire, and really blew up. True, that's true.
Well, I think there's a difference I'm gonna play Michael Dean here. You got to take an effect of America's love affair with the Italian mafia, which that's what The Sopranos was built around. So, I mean, I think that's a tad bit different.
True, yeah. But America also
has
a love affair with black gangsters, but it just never would be presented as a hero. I mean, we wouldn't have gangster rap. We wouldn't have Ice Cube, Dre, Snoop, 50 Cent. All of these are mainstream people that America, a lot of white America, loves that. But they'll never love it enough where it's in a movie sort of thing like this. You know what I mean? Like, they'll love it, but it was always going to be the cult thing. It's no different. This is no different than Sopranos. It's no different than Breaking Bad. The only key difference is the skin colors are different, and they don't want to present that type of thing as the thing. Like, the only thing I could say that ever really got some notice like that because it was good at the time was Boys in the Hood. And
in the end, he died. Doughboy.
Right, but it's like, and then that sort of genre is gone from mainstream, whereas the Italian or the any other criminal white organization show is mainstream, always. You know, Breaking Bad should, again, that movie, I love that. The TV show is excellent. Sons of Anarchy is excellent. But if that would have been a black bike gang in Sons of Anarchy, there's no way in hell that show would be what it is or what it was. They would be like, oh, get the fuck. They should be killed. This is criminals. You know, because the lead character was a murderer. I have the T-shirt on right now. You can't see it. But he killed people every week, at least two per episode. And he was hired as he was blonde hair, he's so fine, and he's an action. Like, he's not perceived how he should be. He's fucking, he's a criminal. He's the worst thing you could be. But same with Breaking Bad. He's a drug dealer. This guy forsake his family for drugs, and then he turns into this, what they call that character? With the glasses and
his alter ego. Gus Fring? Heisenberg.
Yeah, he's Heisenberg. Oh, man. You know, and when his little sidekick buddy, yeah, you know. But if that would have been you know, some black dude, and he was called Lil G-Boy or something, I mean, it would have been like, the hell?
You know what? Let's be
We're
real.
We're not going to have no action dolls at Toys R Us with Lil G-Dog.
They wouldn't have let a black character be the chemist like that. There is no way.
No, they probably wouldn't.
Which is bullshit.
But great, still a great show. I'm not trying to put it down. All right, this is basically the Wire program, which it deserves. What else can we say about the Wire? Have we said it all?
Am I wrong or right? The saddest moment in the show is when Bodhi got right.
Bodhi.
No. The saddest part to me was when he got Prop Joe.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because of the way they did it? Or
yes, because of the way they did it. You know, he was trying to get out. You know, he's like, let me tip on out of here. And then, no. Now, there are a couple of things that kind of went overboard, too. I think it was in season 4 where Cuddy goes to the corner to try to get Spider to come off. And Spider wasn't having it. And he's all, talk to me, son. And then he shot him. That was foul. No, not Spider. It was Chris. He was trying to get Michael off the corner.
And Chris shot him?
And Chris shot him. Okay. Shot him in the leg.
Well,
like, that was a little corny.
What was sad to me, and I don't remember the guy's outcome, was the what was the one character? He was always strung out all the time.
Oh, Bubbles.
Bubbles.
Bubbles. What was that little boy that was with him?
Oh, that's right. I can't remember his name.
I was just sad to me, man. I was like, damn, people have to live like this. It sucks. But I just really felt bad for that little boy, man. I can't remember what actually ended up happening with him. Didn't he go to the school for a while?
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. That's a different little boy.
Wait, you talking about the one that was with Michael that ended up with those, those drugged out people at the end
actually,
in that junkyard?
I don't mean him. I mean the boy that was with the strung out dude.
Yeah. He died.
That's what
got Bubbles to go straight. Okay. Finally.
And when you think about it, something else just popped in my head. If you want to bring back characters, Poot. Poot made it out alive because he was working at Foot Locker in the last season. So they can bring Poot back into the whole thing.
No, they can keep Poot.
He's just like satisfied Poot. with his Foot Locker checks. Go back to
Poot can stay where he at.
And they need to bring Michael back because when Michael left the show after it ended, he went on to be, 90210 remake? Get out of here, man.
Oh, Mark, what's his name? Mark Wade. He's like a rapper singer dude now.
No, he was on 90210 The Next Generation.
No, I know, but I'm saying now he's a singer now.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got a whole thing out.
Okay, Michael. Shit.
Yeah, Mark Wade, I believe, isn't he? You know who I'm talking about, right?
I know. Ampu?
Not the rapper, no.
But yeah, he'd be on Hot 97 and all that stuff all the time.
And they can bring back, you know, Weebay's wife.
she could fit right into this whole Ratchet thing they got going on now.
Actually, that's a good idea. They can bring her back and bring back the Barksdale mother and have rival crews again.
By the women.
By the women. And both of them sinister. And you throw a little Brother Muzon in there? Shit, this could work.
What's my guy, the boxer dude? He's on The Walking Dead now.
Oh, Cuddy?
Yeah, I guess Cuddy. I liked his character, but he's already getting ridiculous. Like, I was like, come on, man. Leave them ratchet-ass, thirsty mothers alone.
Hey, man, you been in jail for 14 years?
Yeah, you're going to get some.
I'm just going to say. 14 years.
I can make you a plate. Damn, they came hard with it.
14 years in the big house. Come on. You're like, look, you don't want to try too hard. If they're going to throw that at you, come on, let go. You know, I can't be mad at them.
What was the, I can't stop talking about this. What was that old man? He was almost to me like the Yoda. He would come around that one police officer who used to be the chief. He's like, oh, we got a job for you over here. Now you go down here and talk to,
Yeah.
I don't know what his name was. But he always was that kind of character that always sort of had something for him. Like, he was almost as conscious, like, you think about what you're gonna do now.
go down there and get you some work at the school.
But great show. Now I got to go back and watch all this shit. God damn it.
You go ahead and let me know how season two was, because I don't think it holds up.
I will. All right. So there you go. That's The Wire. If you haven't seen the show, if all this talk hasn't convinced you to check it out, then please, you have to go watch the show. It's great, great, great stuff. Do we have anything else we want to do before we wrap this thing up?
Talk about the list of best 100 books from
Comic Book Resources. Man, we should have had a. And I'm looking at you, Aunt Pooh, Big
yes,
Sexy.
Sir.
Why didn't we have the Podcast Juice top comics of the year, man? Come on, man.
We can do that because the list on the CBR is bullshit.
All right. Well, they got what? They just have 100 of them here. We're going to go through all 100.
100 of them and a lot of them.
Let's just deal with the top 10.
A lot of crap. Okay.
Give us the top 10.
And the top 10 books of crap.
Yeah, the top 10. Number 10, She-Hulk. Number 9.
Wait. She-Hulk is good, but the person who wrote the article said it's better than when Byrne and Slott did it. No, it is not. The art is this typical of the time now, this rip-off of Chris Somni art, heavy pencils. I hate it. Continue.
Number 9, The Wicked plus The Divine.
I read that book. Hey.
Oh, speak on it.
Well, I'm just saying, I like the premise of it. I've only read the first two or three episodes, comics, but I do have the rest of them. I just haven't read it yet. But I like sort of what it's about. Now, I don't know if it gets better. Somebody's clicking something.
Cutting your toenail or something there?
Ghetto ass. Admit it. That's what you was doing?
No, that was not what I was doing.
Okay. Bunions and shit.
Wow. Well, anyway, I like the book, though. So I don't know what you think about it.
You know, I'll always reserve the comment until we get to the end of the list, because there's a theme that I'm going to rip on in a minute. So,
Number eight, Afterlife with Archie.
Now, see, that was good.
I've only read one of those.
That was good because he took the Archie universe and did whole different things that had never been done with it. So I thought it was interesting.
Hmm. All right.
Number 7, Lazarus.
Lazarus down. Hell yes.
Never read it.
Number 6, Lumberjanes.
Bull.
I don't even know what that is.
Number 5, Sex Criminals.
Bull. Shit.
Number 4, Moon Knight. Number 3, The Multiversity. The Multiversity.
I want to like that. I want to like it.
It's crap. I tried. It's just, no.
Number 2, Saga.
Yeah.
And number 1, Miss Marvel.
I do like Saga.
See, Ms. Marvel being number 1 is complete and utter pandering horse shit.
Break it down.
Because I read the new Ms. Marvel. I remember when they announced it. They're like, oh, she's a Muslim girl. Who cares? Mm. But her power set is very reminiscent of a character that DC did back in the 70s called Shade the Changing Man, which is fine. But the more I read the book, the more it's like a CW teen crap book. And I hate it. I hate it with a passion. A lot of the books that were mentioned in the top 10 and the top 25, for that matter, are Image books of a sci-fi slant. Things like Sex Criminals, which is garbage. Black Science, which is garbage. It seems a lot of people nowadays are caught up in trying to write like Jonathan Hickman and Matt Fraction, and I just do not care for it at all. The Multiversity thing from DC, you know, they gave Grant Morrison a free run, and this is what you get. It makes no sense. None. You know, I don't get it at all. You know, I don't think a lot of these books will be around in 3 years. I think, like, there's a book that's on the list called Trees. Well, what happens if a bunch of trees come from space and plant themselves on Earth? What? What kind of shit is that? No. Moon Knight and She-Hulk are written by the same person. They talked about the death of Wolverine, which I thought was crap. I think a lot of these books are just not good. They're concentrating too much on the films and not enough on the books, and the books are suffering for it. They really are. Now, what they're doing in Spider-Man is interesting, but...
All right, what's going to be your top 10 books of last year?
Off the top of my head, in no order, Walking Dead, Invincible, Batman, Amazing Spider-Man, Saga, Lazarus. Daredevil, Chew. Chew is always good. How many is that?
I don't even know. That sounds close to 10.
That's close enough, yeah. There's 10.
Yeah, what shocked me is, like, how the hell did Invincible not make the top 100?
Because it's not hipster enough, man. It doesn't go to that hipster dynamic of, oh, this is going to be ultra sci-fi. I'm telling you, man, all that Image crap that they're flooding the market with, man, they need to stop. Sex Criminals is bullshit. Has any of you read Sex Criminals?
I haven't.
The premise is they're a couple, and when they boink and they come, stop, or time stops, and they go steal shit.
Sounds interesting. it just sounds crazy. That's what it sounds like.
But don't get caught up. Wow. Bullshit. I read the first issue. I'm like, really? Come on.
What about you, Ampoo? You got a top set of books there?
Nah, I got a top. My five would be Kick-Ass 3, which I agree with it, Walking Dead, Invincible, Manhattan Projects, and Injustice.
Ah, Manhattan Projects. I downloaded some sort of omnibus or something of that. I just started reading it. That's a very interesting book. I didn't know what to make of it, but I kind of like what it's doing. Quickly, I would say, of course, Injustice. I haven't read the last couple weeks. It's kind of getting a little to me, but I love that book.
Yeah, I agree. The magic element isn't.
Yeah,
really,
it's not really popping.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they were trying to tie in with the show Constantine, but if that's not going to take off, then you might have made a calculated risk.
I agree. The Southern Bastards. This is a Jason Aaron book, and it's set in the South. It kind of reminds me of what is the book that he did that he was famous for, Jason Aaron?
Scalped.
Scalped, excuse me. But it's, you know, about in the South and all that, and football, Southern Bastards. I read all four or five, whatever is up to the latest
six.
One. Six. I like that kind of stuff. Shit. Walking, I won't even put The Walking Dead up there. I hate to say it.
You know why? Because it's so consistently good that you're not blown away because it's always that good.
Probably.
I don't know about that. I think once they did with the Negan storyline, it's definitely picked up because it was just getting tedious. And then once they finally ended the Negan storyline, they picked it up, I think, 6 months later.
Yeah.
And you see Rick, which to me is getting that shades of Heisenberg about him. And then the that new tribe that was putting on the spoilers that were putting on the mass of the dead people that made you think that the zombies were alive and talking to each other. That intrigued me. Plus, we still don't know where the fuck is Michonne.
That scared the shit out of me, actually, when they started talking.
I was like, the fuck?
Saga. I just got into that a while ago. Really good. Alex and Ada.
Alex and Ada? You Ada? That?
Oh, yeah. I love all the, was it Joshua Brothers, whatever?
Oh, that's a Luna book?
Luna Brothers. Yeah, I love all
this. Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's actually only one of the brothers and some other girl, I think, is writing. But yeah, it's good. I'm actually into Batman, kind of off and on, but I go between Batman and Robin and Batman.
Scott Snyder's been knocking the hell out of Batman for years.
He's just got some good stuff. And I guess I would just throw them all together, a mixture between Exo Man of War and Unity. Like
I'm all into that. Little Valiant Love?
Oh, yeah, I'm all into that. I guess that's about all that I can really say. I read, but I don't understand stuff like Axis.
Oh, God.
Avengers. You know, I will say this. Since I got Marvel Unlimited, I went back. I said, you know, I want to try and make heads or tails of the Avengers and all this stuff that's going on. It has to make some sort of sense. So I go back and I started reading New Avengers with the Illuminati.
Yeah, so, you went way back.
And I love that. Like, I'm like, okay, this shit is really good, you know? And then it gets into that Infinity thing, storyline that they had going on for a while.
Yeah.
And I can kind of understand it a little bit, and I'm reading it. So I'm in the midst of reading that. And it's not as messy as I remember it to be. I can kind of follow somewhat what's going on. I still don't understand the point of the character that he's in that yellow suit with the
guy with the helmet thing, the bull looking dude.
Yeah, that stuff to me is dumb as hell. They're like they're originators or they're something, whatever they're called. I was like, what the hell are you doing?
They need some editing on that book a lot, because they're letting Hickman just go. Rick Remender are going bananas. I'm like, the fuck are you guys trying to do?
Yeah, I'm trying to understand it. It's like it has to make sense. But I do like New Avengers. I think that's Hickman. And I'm all into that so far. I like the Black Panther and Namor going at it and the secret stuff they're doing. The whole thing with the Earths trying to collide. It's kind of interesting stuff.
It's interesting that you mentioned Namor. I'm like, I wonder how come there hasn't been any talks of bringing him to the MCU?
Oh, I think he's part of the Fantastic Four blockage of characters. That's why.
Yeah, I could definitely see him in a movie. All right, well... There we go.
If Aquaman takes off, you'll see him.
That would be fun.
And the thing about it is Namor has more of an edge that probably would appeal more to the audiences than
now Aquaman. The guy. And seeing as the guy they got playing Aquaman would be a great Namor.
You think so? What? Yeah. I could kind of see that.
Yeah, I would see that too. He seems more like he's. I don't know what the way his look seems more intense than an Aquaman would be. In my opinion.
Now, do you think they'll dye his hair?
Wait, for Aquaman?
Yeah.
Who cares?
He has a look.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know, man. They're trying to get all diverse and whatnot, so they may not do that. They may not go with the blonde-haired guy. They may change it up.
Real quick, we're going to get out of here. We got to bring up Neil Blomkamp. He revealed some concept art that he was working on for like his own sort of alien movie type of thing. Apparently he was doing it not with the graces of 20th Century Fox. He just wanted to do it himself. And he released some artwork. Have you guys seen this stuff?
Yes, I saw it after you posted the link. Yes.
What'd you think?
Fuck Ridley Scott. Fuck Ridley Scott. Fuck Damon Lindelof. And fuck J.J. Abrams on GP, because you brought Damon Lindelof into the world. Because, I mean, I know you can't judge a whole lot, but it looked just based on his concept work, it looked like he knows what he wants to do with the franchise and it's going to turn out something good. I mean, District 9 to me was, I got to remember what year that was, but just on GP, I'm going to say it was the best movie of that year. And I know he would have fun with this, and he'd probably do with this that James Cameron did with Aliens. I really believe it. And it looked like I think when you're passionate about a property, I think that's when you get your most creative stuff. And I'm looking at this stuff like, damn, okay. Well, he does kind of have me worried with the Ripley. I don't know why I got that xenomorph head at the back, but you know, I don't know.
It looks kind of like his style, like you. It reminds me of what he did. What's the movie with Matt Damon?
Elysium.
I mean, he has a very distinctive style of his type of stuff. And that kind of, I was like, I could kind of see that. You know, I could see, I really wanted to see the Ripley and Hicks being brought back. That'd be kick ass, man, like older versions. I don't know, man. I would love to see this. I hope by him putting it out there, they'd be like, you know what? We should get him to do this. People want to see this shit.
This is Warner, but the problem is this is Warner Brothers, I believe. They own the rights to this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I know it was New Line.
For some reason. Maybe I'm mistaken.
Oh, I might be thinking of Predators, and Predators is by Fox. Let's see. Prometheus.
But, I would love to let him, hey, man, let him do this. It seems like it's something he's very passionate about, so. He obviously is a fan of it.
Who put this out? It was... Yeah, you're right. It is Fox. So, okay. You know, might be able to make that happen. But I don't know. Because Prometheus, yeah, Ridley Scott of Prometheus, I mean, with they ruined it, so...
But I don't think, do you think most normal moviegoers even knew that Prometheus had anything to do with aliens, per se?
Well, after they watched the movie, they probably didn't. But, I mean, in the sense that I think they're going down this road, the Prometheus universe now, as opposed to going back to Alien. At the end of the day, I still just don't understand how they just can't sit in a room and just map out stuff. And just say, okay, let's do this.
Yeah, or, just call it aliens. Don't even say the word Prometheus. People will respond to aliens more than they would to Prometheus. It's going to be aliens, the something, something. Oh, okay. Like, I just seem like there's a place for people to go want to go see that. If people can go and watch Terminator for the upteenth time or RoboCop or any of these other dumbass remakes they have, then there's a place, damn it, for aliens, man. Like, they had Aliens versus Predator movies two times, which on the surface is a crazy premise. Like, it's two movie universes by two different companies brought together, which is why I can't see why they can't do Marvel and Sony. But I mean, they were able to do that, and I guess they were relatively successful from bringing it back again. So fuck, it could do another Aliens, and it'd be a real kind of Aliens movie. Man, I'd be all on board to watch that.
Well, I think Alien and Predator were both brought under the same banner, so that made it somewhat feasible to execute.
Really? Maybe, yeah. So. Okay.
Well, here's hope. Was, now that you mentioned Alien versus Predator, where is the sequel to Predators? Because I loved that movie. I thought that was really good. Mm. Oh, you didn't?
I have to see it again. I only saw it that one time. I didn't like the... what's my Lawrence Fishburne part? I was like, come on, man.
And for me, take notes. If you're going to reboot, because essentially Predators was Predator. Essentially the same setup in this jungle, trying to fight and survive. And to me, it was just like, if that's how you reboot a franchise, if you're going to do it, or that's how you remake the franchise. You know, it's Predators is essentially the first movie with a little bit of tweak here and there. But it's the same concept, same storyline.
Yeah, I agree with you. I could see another Predators movie. I would want somebody else to do it, but I could definitely see a badass Predator movie being made, for sure.
Now, here's the question, because I saw somebody was asking about Arnold Schwarzenegger playing Deathstroke in Suicide Squad.
No.
Do you think it's possible to bring Schwarzenegger back for Predator, and would you want to see that?
No, and hell no.
I would say yes. Only because I thought Arnold Schwarzenegger was dope as hell in Sabotage. Like, he was hardcore in that movie.
I'm sorry. He's in his 70s, I believe, right?
Probably, yeah.
It's like he only has so many viable years left as a quote-unquote action star. Why not try to do it?
I mean, there's people that will go see it. I mean, he's put Schwarzenegger and put him, I mean, he's going to be in Terminator, right? So, I mean, obviously there's an audience.
Oh, let me take that back. He's 67, so he might have.
Oh, damn near.
Yeah, so, yeah, I say go ahead. I think there's definitely, you can do Terminator and Predator. I think are the ones you can definitely get done. And then they're talking about twins, so two.
Twins? What do you mean, twins what?
The movie.
Yeah, the movie.
Oh, God.
A sequel, yes.
Okay. Well, you know what they should do? They should just do a Terminator, Aliens, Predator movie. There you go. All in one.
But then Schwarzenegger get two paychecks. There you go. He can be the Terminator and the Predator guy.
Hey, hey. Well, he could be this. The Terminator would be take the place of the Predator guy, but then you have to fight Predators and Aliens. That would be crazy, man.
Somebody, hopefully the right person is listening to this, and that's going to be a new comic book series soon.
Probably, right? And we'll throw RoboCop in there. Terminator, well, they've already had Terminator and RoboCop team up in comics, right?
They did?
Yeah. They did?
I think, wasn't it Frank Miller that wrote that?
Hold on.
Yeah. You're right.
So, yeah, he could do the movie.
Yeah, Dark Horse, 1992. Yeah.
But they have just neutered the Terminator franchise so much. Ugh.
Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap this up, man. This is it's been a good Geeked Out. As we always do, we got to let you know where you can find us online. So, Mr. Big Sexy, where can they find you?
You. Twitter, Big Sexy and Sec. That's right. Facebook, Mark Wiggins. And yes, I did post last week on New Year's Eve that we're calling 2015 the TCB Taking Care of Business Tour, baby. So be prepared for new things from New Sexy, from Big Sexy. We're gonna do it live. Can't wait.
All right. She changed up the whole style. We're going to do it live. A little swag in there. All right. Next up, Mr. Aunt Pooh, where can they find you?
Tonight you can find me on Twitter doing live tweeting for Wrestle Kingdom 9.
Yes.
Right. New Japan Pro Wrestling Show live from Tokyo. I'll be doing that at Aunt Pooh. You can also find me on Instagram at Aunt Pooh. And I'll be having return of my Comic 8 Ball next Sunday at 411 Mania. And I'll be having the year in review in WWE and New Japan coming up, published sometime this week at knockoutnation.com.
All right, they're gonna have Prince on there. He's gonna be on Tokyo. Oh. Hey, shout out to the Prince podcast. You can find me on Twitter at MDean. Also, please follow Podcast Juice on Twitter at Podcast Juice. Check out our new website, podcastjuice.net. And hey, we'll see you next time. Work it like a job. Peace.